The book of Philippians, chapter 3. Chapter 3, Philippians 3, and we're just going to jump down to verse 13. We'll not read a whole lot right there, but I just want to read a couple verses. Philippians 3, 13. Paul writing here. Now, Paul has just talked all about, you know, his lineage and the things he had been through and how he was qualified to be able to say the things that he said. But then he goes ahead and he says, you know, all the things that I accomplished through religion, he said, I just count that as dung. He said, so that I might win Christ and I might obtain it to the resurrection and the power of the resurrection. And then he says, you know, it's not like I've attained it yet. He said, but I'm going after that's got me apprehended. In other words, he said, God has got a hold of me, and so I'm just going to go after God and get a hold of him. And see, that's something every one of us need to get in our hearts is that, you know, thank God we've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. But now that God has us, let's get a hold of God. Let's not just be a casual Christian. Let's not be a casual church worshiper. Let's make up our mind that God is the most important thing in our life because he is. But here in verse 13 here, he says, brethren, I count not myself too apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, notice what he said. He said, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. One of the things that holds Christians up more than anything else is our past and the things that are behind us. Listen, you have to make a conscious effort. Notice that if Paul said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind and I'm pressing forward, then you and I need to do the same thing. Now, you know, Paul, he's been living for God all along. But in his process of living for God, he's been beaten with rods, right? He's been whipped. He's been left for dead. He's been shipwrecked. He's been through all these things. And he says, I'm forgetting all about that. And I'm pressing forward. See, sometimes folks try to hold on to something in their past. Well, you know, if God had been there for me for this or for that, he was. But were you there for him? Were you pressing in there? Come on, see. And so Paul's trying to say it. Tell us here. He says, listen, I'm going to forget what's behind. And here's the thing, church. I've seen it happen both ways. I've seen folks quit going to church that used to be champions of the faith. I mean, they were hot for God. If you was doing something, they was part of it. They talked God. They walked God. They did. But once they got to a place, then all of a sudden it's just like they quit. It's like we've arrived and there's, you know, listen, you never will arrive. Come on. We're imperfect beings. Now we serve a perfect God and we have the perfect Holy Spirit on the inside of us. So our job is to keep pressing forward toward God. See, we got to get this flesh under. Come on, somebody give an amen. This flesh is one of our problems. And so we've got to get it under. And so Paul says, I'm forgetting all the things in the past, not just the bad stuff, but I'm forgetting the good stuff. See, because it doesn't, think about this. There was a group that came to the Lord and they said, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils and done many wonderful things in your name? And you know what he said to them? Depart from me. I don't even know you. Now, wait a minute. How could they have done those things in his name and now he doesn't know them? Well, at the time, they were hot for God. But then they forgot God. And guess what? Now, here they are out. Why? Because they left God. But now they've come to him and said, oh, we've done all this stuff. See, here's the thing. You ought to want to do good works because you're saved. And you ought to always be pressing forward. But there's no place for you to quit pressing forward and talk about how good you used to be. See, that's why they're talking about how good they used to be. Jesus says, yeah, but I don't even know you now. Where are you at now? See, church, here's the thing. If we're not pressing all the time, you're going to end up going backwards. You have to keep pushing forward. Chuck and I and Scotty, we fish at a river down in Tennessee sometimes, and that river can be very, very, very swift. And it, matter of fact, you know, most boats in a lake can use a 12-volt troll motor. Some of them have 24s on it. We have to have a 36-volt troll motor on our boat sometimes, and it wide open just to be able to move upstream. And if I forget, if I'm running, if whoever's running, if you let off the button, immediately you're going downstream. And I promise you, you will lose ground faster than you will gain ground because it's so swift. See, that's the way the world is to us. See, if we're not pressing forward at all the time, if we don't have the button pushed and we're not going full force forward, if we let off, the enemy will come in like a flood and he'll try to come after you. So you've got to just keep pressing forward. You can't quit reading. You can't say, I've already read. Come on now. Well, I've read the Bible. Good. Keep on reading. Because I promise you, every time you read it, you're going to get some new revelation, some fresh anointing. So you can't quit praying. You've got to keep pushing. Don't allow the enemy to tell you that you've done enough. Sometimes older folk, they'll say, well, you know, now I've done my due. It's time for the young folks. Pastorette and I are guilty of it. Right, Pastorette? We're guilty sometimes. We'll say, you know, well, you know, we're getting older now. It's time for somebody else to step up. And it is time for somebody else to step up. But we don't plan on quitting. We're going to keep right on pushing. We're going to do everything we can. And, you know, and that's the whole thing. We need to all together just keep on pushing and doing what we can. Come on. Us older folk, we need to be training up the younger folk. Now, there's a problem if the younger folk don't want to be trained. So, you know, but you've got to realize one of these days you're going to look around and it's going to be your generation that's in charge. It's your generation that, you know, how are we going to have a dinner if there's nobody to cook? Where'd all that food come from anyway? Come on, see, there's not magic church fairies or anything like that that just bring food in. Now, Pastorette and I get in a vehicle and we take off and she orders and we go to Huntington, Sam's Club. We'll go to the Brown's Food Service. We'll go where we do whatever we got to have to make sure that it's all here. What are we doing? Well, we're pushing into this thing. We're not going to just sit back and say, well, we're not going to have dinners because nobody, right? Well, see, when it comes to worshiping God, now that's a natural thing. When it comes to worshiping God, you have to push in for you. There ain't nobody else going to go get God for you. You have to press in. You have to get a hold of God. You have to seek after His face. Right? If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and pray and what? Seek my face. And the church has got to start seeking His face more. Where it's real easy for us to get lazy. It's real easy for us to just kick back and watch somebody else. But you and I have to do our part. Paul says, I've not attained this thing yet. Therefore, I'm going to forget everything I've done in the past. And I'm just going to keep right on pressing forward. And, you know, he goes on and says, you know, if somebody else got other minded, you need to talk to God about that. But this is what we're doing. And so he's teaching here that we need to just keep on pressing no matter what. Well, why is that? Because there's nothing behind us that's going to do us any good now. Come on. The only thing about your past that matters is the fact that you got born again. Amen. We've been singing about born again all morning here in all these songs. And some folk don't get excited about being born again. Come on, folk get more excited about a healing or something like that than they do being born again. Listen, being born again is the most important thing in your life. All that other stuff, you can just kind of forget about it. Look over here with me to Luke. Let's read a scripture over here. It kind of talks about this. And Luke chapter 9, look at verse 57. It says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I dare to say most of us have probably at least hinted that toward the Lord when He saved us and, you know, when He's doing stuff for us and when we need Him real bad, right? And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Notice what he just said. The Lord Jesus, in this parable and talking to these people, he's trying to get them to understand that there is nothing about the past that matters. What matters is the now. See, right now, where you're at, where you stand with God and what you're doing for God right now, that's what matters. Amen. The stand that you're taking, your walk with God, that's what matters. There is nothing about your old life to go back to. Because that old life, it was on its way to hell. That old flesh, that old body, the old man was on its way to hell. But when Jesus Christ came into your life, you became a new creature. You received new life, and now you're on your way to heaven. But you've got to keep pressing. You've got to keep pushing. There's nothing about that old life. Matter of fact, there is nothing in your old life that would ever be better than the life you can have with the Lord Jesus right now. Everything that He gives you right now will be better than what you've had in the past. Oh, I don't know now. Pastor, I had a pretty good life. Yes, but you was on your way to hell. Come on now. That didn't mean the flesh wouldn't please, but now your spirit man is on the inside of you rejoicing because you've been born again and you're on your way to heaven. There ain't nothing about that old life that's worth going back to. All it'll do is cause you trouble and heartache. And matter of fact, see, a lot of times when we look back, what happens to us is we just look back at the good things. Remember over again in Numbers 13 and 14, the children of Israel, God's delivering them, trying to get them over into the promised land. And they get afraid of the giants in chapter 13. And in chapter 14, then they start wanting to go back. Where are they going back to? Well, they want to go back to Egypt, back into slavery. You know why? Well, we remember the cucumbers and the leeks. That was good food to eat there. They were getting beat. They were slaves. They were being made to make brick and go get their own stuff to make the brick with. They didn't even think about that part. All they thought about was the cucumbers and the good stuff. And see, if you're not careful, that's what the devil will do. He'll remind you of some of the good stuff you had. Well, you remember when you used to do this? Man, you had a good time. You know, you might have had a good time when you was drinking and swarping and carrying on, you know, but don't forget about the morning after. Don't forget about the sickness and all that junk that went along with that. You see, that's not something the devil ever reminds you of. Come on, all the trouble, the heartache and stuff that you went through. So you have to just forget that. And you've got to just keep pressing forward. And the Lord here is telling them, He says, listen, even though I understand you want to go back and tell them bye and all that, He says, the most important thing right now is the kingdom of God. You just go preach the kingdom of God. You just keep on pushing forward because no person, no man looking back after you put your hand to the plow is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, and again, I've told you this. Some of you have no clue what he's talking about there. Some of us in our, you know, we came up with that kind of generation that, you know, the gardens that, you know, our food didn't come out of the grocery store. It came out of a garden. Some still raise some gardens. But, you know, for the most part, we raised gardens. We raised all those kind of things, the corn and all that, you know. And really, to be honest with you, most farmers in this area, most families in this area didn't have mules. They sure didn't have tractors. And I could remember when you'd have to get your neighbor to come down and plow your garden for you. He'd take a turning plow and a mule and that turn the ground, fix the ground up. And then you'd have to have a mule to lay off the rolls. And then as it came up, you had to have a mule to plow through that so that, you know, you could get all the weeds out of it and hoe it. There was a lot of work to raise a garden. There still is. But the thing I want to bring out of that is you learn. I learned at an early age, you know, as a young, as being a male in this area and stuff. Most of the time, the boys would try to get started, and you know, the girls had they make them work too. But most of the time, when it came to stuff like that, the mules and that, a lot of times the boys did that. But you found out real quick that a mule can be very stubborn. I mean, he had a mind of his own, and it just depended on the mule what happened. There were some mules that were so good that all you had to just hold on to the plow, and that mule would just a straight row. You didn't have to worry about him. He would just go up there and stop at the end of the row, let you get your plow turned around. He'd come back down just the finest. Then you had the crazy ones. And you'd get your plow ready, and he'd take off like you're going to run with that plow. You was kind of flapping behind it, you know. And you're trying to keep the row straight, and he would just go where he wanted to, and I mean, just did what he wanted to. So you had to always, especially once your crop came up, you had to keep an eye on your plants. Because, you know, you worked all that hard, got them up, now here they are pretty, and you want to keep them growing. And, you know, you get a stubborn old mule, and he'd tromp it. He'd eat it. I mean, you had to keep your eye on what you were doing all the time. So when I think Jesus talking about no man taking his hand to the plow and looking backward, I can just imagine. Can you just imagine? Now, you're trying to do a straight row, and you're looking backwards. Ain't going to happen. How many knows you take your eyes off the road, you might wreck your car. You can't drive your car looking out the rearview window. You got to drive it looking forward. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell them. You can't be looking back. You've got to keep looking forward and pressing forward into the kingdom of God, because there is nothing to go back to. Nothing in your old life to go back to. You've got to keep pressing forward. You say, well, it seems like I'm just not enjoying my life like I should. Well, see, that's where the pressing in comes. You have to press into the things of God. Get into the Word of God. Worship God. Don't try to live like you used to live now that you've got new life. Start living this new life. Start worshiping God. Finding friends in the kingdom of God. And fellowshipping with them and that kind of thing. And when you start doing that, you'll start finding out, hey, this Christian life's pretty good. Come on. I've never left alone. I've always got people that'll pray with me and stand up with me and be there for me. And God will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Come on. So there's nothing really that I want to go back to. Nothing there. So I'm going to keep pressing. And that's what Paul's saying. If you think about Lot's wife. I mean, here's God coming to deliver them out of that sinful city of Sodom. I mean, you know, it's so bad that God's going to destroy it. And when the angels show up and tell them to get out, they tell them to get up on the mountain and don't look back. And they start up that way and they get up so far. And guess what? Lot's wife does. She looks back, turns to a pillar of salt. She has the opportunity now to go start a new life with her husband and daughters. And they can do some things great in the kingdom of God. But she is so bound to her old life that she looks back at it because she wants to see what's going on back in the city. And she turns to a pillar of salt. If you read out the rest of the story, it ends up in a mess. All kinds of problems stemmed from that one incident of her wanting to look back at her old life. There is nothing to look back to. Just cut it off right now. Just let it go. Amen. If you want to live for God and enjoy your life with God, that's what you got to do. Now, when you look at this story here in Luke, these guys, they had some excuses. They had some reasons that they wanted to go back before they followed Jesus. But, you know, Jesus showed them once again that you need to be worried about what's going on right now. Now, let me just say this real quickly. You can't allow the devil to talk you out of what God wants you to do right now. Because if you procrastinate, if you wait, then first thing you know, you won't do it. Amen. Have you ever noticed that you've got your grocery cart full of groceries at the store, wherever you're at, Walmart or wherever, it don't matter. You've got it full, you've got everything you want, and you come up to check out, and all on both sides of you is merchandise as you're checking out. And it's pickup merchandise. It's quickie, it's a candy bar hollering your name. You don't need it. But it's right there because they know why they've got you there. It's an impulse thing. You'll just do it. There's a reason car salesmen are pushy. You know, everybody talks about how pushy car salesmen are, that kind of thing. There's a reason. Statistics show that while you're on that lot, it's the greatest opportunity for you to buy a car. If they let you leave the lot, a good chance you'll change your mind. And they know that. So they don't want to let you. That's why they'll say, well, wait a minute, come back here, let's talk about that. And they'll change because they know if they let you go, you're probably not coming back. Unless you just really, really got the fever. Then you may go back. But what I'm trying to say is, they want you to make the decision now, and most of the time you will. Now, God's saying to us, I'm not a pushy car salesman, but when I'm telling you to do something and I'm trying to do something in you, you need to move now. Don't wait, because if you wait, the devil will talk you out of what I want you to have right now. A lot of folks have lost their healing. A lot of folks, I talked with the praise team this morning, and I just told them, I said, just listen to the Holy Spirit. If He wants you to do something, do it. And they discussed, there have been times that I felt like I should have, and they didn't. You know why? Because they didn't do what God wanted them to do when they should have. They didn't testify when they should have. They didn't speak up. They didn't exhort when they should have. Why? Because the enemy didn't want them to. And so they waited. And I'm going to tell you something. When you comes to operating in the Spirit, when you wait, you can lose it. When God wants you to speak out, He wants to give you a tongue. He wants you to give a prophecy. When He wants you to speak out a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, God wants you to do it when He tells you to do it. Now, He'll always make room for that gift, but if you don't do it I'll do it after a while. First thing you know, that thing's gone. I've actually had God wake me up before and tell me something, and I think, oh, God, that was really good. You wait in the morning, I'm going to write that down. Wake up in the morning, I can't even remember what the dream was. I knew God told me something, but I could not remember what it was. Now, that's a whipping you just don't want. I've been there and done that. That's a terrible one. What was it? God wanted me to do it right then. He write it down now so you'll know tomorrow. There's some of you that God is speaking to now about doing things and pressing in. And you're not, you know God's speaking it, but you're just not moving on His timing. He's told you to do it, but you don't want to right now. You're putting off. You're procrastinating. You're like them, well, I will later on. Well, you're letting the devil talk you out of it. Let me show you another. Go with me to over Exodus chapter 8. Now, here in Exodus, we're reading where the children of Israel are captives or slaves to the Egyptians. And God has told Moses to lead His people out. And He's going to Pharaoh now and telling Pharaoh, listen, God says, let my people go. And, of course, Pharaoh's heart's hardened. He's not wanting to let them go. And so each time Moses goes, God tells him there's going to be another plague. If you don't let my people go, this is what's going to happen. And so here in chapter 8, we're at a place where Pharaoh's heart is hardened. And so let's pick it up. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. If thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into thy house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all the servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the stream, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that He may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I treat for thee and for thy servants? and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only. Look at verse 10. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Now I'm going to stop there just a second, because you got to see that. Notice what's happening. Frogs everywhere. In their beds, all over them, in their food, their kneading troughs, their flour, their bread's got frogs in it. I mean, this is the slimy frogs mess. And Pharaoh hollers at Moses and says, come and entreat the Lord for me. Go talk to God so that we can get rid of all this. And God, you know, Moses is excited. Oh, glory over me, you know. When you want me to do this? And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. See, you're looking at me funny. He has an opportunity for them to go right now. He could have said, I want rid of them right now. And it would have happened. But no, we got to spend one more night with frogs in our houses, everywhere we go, in our food. One more night, because we don't want rid of them today. See, that's what a lot of Christians do. Instead of just coming to God now and going ahead and giving it all to Him, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start doing that for God tomorrow. I'll change tomorrow. I'll think about it tonight and I'll do it tomorrow. Today is a good day to do it. Right now. He could have gotten rid of the frogs immediately, but he decided to wait till tomorrow. How many of you think you might have waited till tomorrow? You'd have just said, I want rid of these things now. Can you imagine? Let's read on just a little bit, can we? And it says, and he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like to the Lord our God. Verse 11. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, from thy servants, from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. And when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not to them as the Lord had said. Now I just wanted to get the rest of that in there, because exactly here's what happened. The frogs all died out. They got them all cleaned out, had them pawed out, places stinking. And as soon as Pharaoh saw that there was a little relief, he went right back to doing what he had done before. Does that sound like Christians? They'll call upon God. Oh, God, you got to get me out of it. Oh, God, I got to have you, God. And then as soon as God works on their behalf, they just walk away. Come on, call upon Him for healing. Call upon Him for this. Call upon Him for that. And as soon, just as soon as God starts moving in their life, they just go right back to doing what they was doing. We have to be careful, church. There's no place to do that. We got to keep pressing forward. Keep pressing in, pressing toward the prize of the high calling in God. Don't back down. Don't back off. There's no place to do that. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to live another minute in oppression. The enemy has no hold over you. The only hold he has over you right now is the hold you're allowing to have. If you need healing in your body, healing is available. Come on. If you need salvation, salvation is here. Come on. You need to be delivered, deliverance is already here. You want prosperity? Trust in the Lord. Do what He says to do. Watch it come. It's already here, but you have to make up your mind, I want it now. Come on. What's the commercial, the thing, it's my money and I want it now. Anybody ever remember seeing that commercial? What? All right, J.C. Winward, is that right? Yeah. Y'all ever seen that before? If you got something renewable, annuity or something like that, you know. Well, it's your money and you can have it right now. And then they've got other people says, this, you know, they even sing that. It's my money and I want it now. Remember that? Opera singers. They're saying, I want it now. Listen, these belong to you because you're a child of God. God gave you everything He had when you got born again. So everything belongs to you. Do you want it now? Or do you want to just wait till tomorrow? No, I want it now. Come on, church. We need to be after. We need to be going after now. In Hebrews chapter 3, if you want to flip over there with me, I'll kind of hurry. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, listen to what it says. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Notice that. He said, you need to do it today. Because if you're not careful, you can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Or in other words, the enemy can come at you and cause you to change your mind. Then he goes on and he says this. Let's look at it. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Well, we talked about the provocation a few minutes ago. That's when God said you can have the promised land, but the people believed the 10 spies that saw the giants and said we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and it caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. That's the provocation. God was saying you can have this today. You can have your promised land today. They sent out the spies. They come back. Only Joshua and Caleb had the good report. The rest of them said, oh, it's like God said, but now there's giants in the land. Well, there's no way that we can do that today. But God had already said you can have it. God had already said He'd go before them. God had promised He'd drive out the enemy with hornets. But no, they rather believe the report of those 10 spies than to believe the report of the Lord that says you can have it right now. So today's the day. Don't listen to the lies of the devil that tells you, well, just wait till tomorrow. Or you've got plenty of time. There's, you know, a lot of folks don't get saved because the devil tells them, well, you've just got plenty of time. Just wait. There'll be another day. Just wait till then. Don't you? Why would you want to wait? Why would you want to take a chance? Why would you want to spend another night with the frogs when you've got today that you can get rid of them? Why would you want to spend another night with sin when today you can know that you're on your way to heaven? Think about that for just a minute. Why do you want to wait another day when you know that today you can get your deliverance? Today you can get your healing. Today you can get what you need from God. Don't put it off. Now, I understand some folks would stand in faith, and that's all right. That you should. But I'm just telling you that God says you can have it. It already belongs to you. It's already yours. And so you've got to press into that. It don't happen just like apples falling off a tree. You've got to get it by faith. Believe God and let God do it. See, every one of us needs to just make up our mind today that we're going to press into the things of God. Because we're not who we used to be. We're new creatures in Christ. And God wants us to press into the things that He's given us. I'm going to close with one more scripture. Go with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2. Look at verse 20. This again is Paul writing. Listen to what he says. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know what he said? He said, the old man's dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Can I tell you something? With the old man, you need to let the old things die. You need to let go of those things, right? All things have become new, right? He said, I was crucified with Christ, but now I'm living. So it's new life. Let go of the old stuff. And then he says this, the life that I'm living now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's pressing into the new life that Christ gave us. You can't live in both worlds. You can't live in both kingdoms. You're either a child of God or a child of darkness. Now, thanks be to God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, you were translated when you got born again out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of His dear Son. But you've got to live that life. You can't just sit back and say, well, you know, I mean, I don't know. No, just make up your mind now. Be like Paul. Say, you know what? I'm going to forget about the past. I'm going to forget no matter how bad I've been, how good I've been, and I'm going to keep pressing into what God's got for me. Because I promise you, God has got great things in store for us, church. We just got to keep pushing. The enemy has fought too hard to try to pull you down, try to pull you back, try to get you to quit, try to get you to give up. That just means you're on the right track and God's got something good for you. Amen. Press into this new life. Press in to God and watch how your life will change. Watch how your anointing will get stronger and stronger. Watch how your faith grows as you press into the Word and begin to declare the Word over every situation. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me.